This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9, making you dance.
Making us all dance. You are back with Generation Next. It is 7:14. You're here with Maddie.
Eleanor.
And Chris.
And Stefan.
Yeah, the microphone was pointed in entirely the wrong direction. Guys, you need that one.
Oh.
Remember, you can always get involved in the conversation at 0427JOY949 or by shooting an email to onair@joy.org.au. Tonight we have Mary, Tristan and Alex from Sensewide Employment in the studio to discuss unemployment in the LGBTI community. Sensewide Employment specialises in helping people with disabilities find stable employment, and they're excited to talk about how we can help LGBTI youth, particularly those with disabilities, in the sometimes difficult job hunt. These young people can often suffer from discrimination being in these at-risk groups, and that's why it's great to have groups like this on our side. Mary, Tristan and Alex, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you. Thanks for having us.
As we said, seven people, four mics. We'll do our very best.
They're making it work.
So can you tell us a bit about how the organisation got started?
Yeah, definitely. Thank you. I suppose originally, Sensewide Employment's been operating for a bit over 20 years now. But recently, there was a tender put forward through some funding from the federal government, which allowed us to create the one and only GLBTIQ employment service nationally, and that officially commenced as of March last year.
That is really fantastic.
Yeah, definitely.
What's your vision? What do you want to see happen with this organisation? What do you imagine for the future?
I guess just a lot more recognition amongst unemployed youth who identify as GLBTI, because there's a lot of barriers to employment that they can often face, identifying as LGBTI, and that often coupled with the fact that they might have a disability or a mental health issue really makes it difficult to get into the employment sector. So that's where we come in.
Yeah, tell me about it. So what are your processes? What actually happens if a young person comes to you and says, look, what do I do?
Good question. I suppose we go through a lot of different processes for each individual. The program in itself is tailored for the individual and the goals that they would like to achieve when it comes to employment. So for some people who come on board with working out, they might just need some additional support around interview techniques, and it might be just giving that additional support with possible access to some interview clothing, where some other youth might come on board and really not know what direction or career that they want to build, and maybe it's sometimes fleshing out a little bit more about what you can access now or what you could gain when it comes to employment to start building a career or heading in the right path that you want to access. So
that's fantastic.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Elmo, you go.
Well, I mean, I was just going to say that, especially being transgender, there's a lot of air quotes visibly transgender, even there's a lot of strange discrimination that can happen. So do you guys have specific programs to support people who have faced direct discrimination as a result of their sexual or gender identity?
I suppose the biggest, especially for the transgender community, is we've got some participants who have fantastic resumes and qualifications, but the moment that they get past the application process and go for an interview, they stop. You know, the interview panel will stop, and they will just have that empty stare, and then that's usually the end of the process for someone within that community. So the biggest thing that we have been working on and continue to work on is building employer education, getting out there, getting a lot more information to a lot more employers, and building relationships to make sure that we can kind of overcome that.
So you definitely say that you focus on, getting the person there. You're not so much a group that, steps in once they're at the job. Is that left to other groups?
No, well, I suppose we go through the whole process of the job interview right through to getting into employment. So we're there from the beginning right through till someone feels comfortable that they're in their job. Our involvement within that whole process is up to that individual and what they would like us to do. So,
and I guess as well, we are all members of the community, and we have a pretty deep understanding of you know, barriers that we all face. So I guess that's really helpful in assisting people that identify as LGBTIQ. So I think that's what really sets us apart from other employment services too.
Yeah. As someone who is both, you know, queer and I have a physical disability, I think a lot of people tend to put me in the too hard basket. You know, why would they hire me when they could hire someone who is able-bodied and who will and who doesn't need time off for medical appointments or because I'm not doing well that day? Things like that's sort of how it feels like. Like people just think, you know, this is too hard. This is too much to bother with. Do you hear that a lot?
I suppose not directly. Most definitely not directly.
But like the people who come to you. I think a lot of us would have that story.
Definitely. They can definitely relate to that degree. I suppose it does fall back down to the way in which an individual would perform an interview and communication with that employer, and whether it's based on the participant or whether it's, you know, based on us as employment consultants to go out and advocate for that individual and create those supports and those modifications in a workplace.
I was going to say, it requires a lot of research to give them the right job and career for what their strengths and weaknesses are. So how long does it take to do that for a particular individual?
Great question. I suppose each individual is different and each career is very different and the job market moves so much. So it's the availability of what's out there. So in some cases, it can take people a few weeks to get into work. For others, it can take months.
Okay, because that leads on to the next question is, what were some of the hurdles that your clients had to face again? So I guess you kind of covered that.
Yeah, yeah. The biggest thing is the time, because everyone wants a job and they want a job tomorrow. And it does unfortunately fall down to what's available. And in some cases, we do create stepping stone paths for people, so finding something that will satisfy their needs immediately, but then give them skills to progress forward to a career.
Do you also offer volunteer works for them as well?
Definitely.
That's always good.
Yeah.
So would you say you cover like a wide range of different jobs?
We do, right from just bar work right through to policy writing roles within the department. So
wow,
yeah. that's some pretty impressive.
I'm actually very impressed by that policy writing, because I study politics, so it's like, oh my god.
I guess it's also really helpful as well to sort of source queer friendly employers, and you know, you'd be surprised that there's a lot out there. And even if you're cold canvassing and just calling random employers, you'll often find that a lot of them are quite receptive because it is such a niche program. But, you know, that's not to say that a lot of employers aren't really willing to get on board sometimes. So
even if they hadn't really thought about it before for whatever reason, if they'd never been challenged about their policies or if they've never had to prove that they are accepting and inclusive, I guess if they're given the chance, they'll step up.
And having like a lot of diversity in the workplace is you know, really what it's all about these days. Mm-hmm. It's sort of a bit archaic to have that mindset of, you know, no diversity whatsoever.
Yeah, we were actually talking about how us as a team are kind of...
We cover a lot of bases.
Yeah. What would you say are some success stories you've seen? Some people that you feel like you've really helped?
I suppose one that really comes to mind is one of our transgender participants who was quite struggling with the whole interview process and getting to that stage of having to sit down in front of a panel of people. So
it can be really stressful.
It can be in any given case. But I suppose the wonderful thing in her case was that with our intervention, we were able to successfully get her a job and she was able to still be there. So she's still studying at the same time, so she's pretty hectic, but she's
fantastic.
Moving on with that, which is fantastic. So,
yeah. Almost wish I'd seen you a few days ago because I just had a job interview today. I'd love to have grabbed some help on that.
Best of luck to Maddie.
Fingers crossed.
I wish I saw you guys too. I've been getting a lot of advice from people about de-queering my resume or trying to make it seem less queer. And
yeah,
I'm quite unsure. Like, is it imperative to do that to get a job, or is it like...
I felt the same way because one of the roles that I have, it's like I work with Department of Health, the Ministerial Advisory Committee for LGBTI Health and Wellbeing, and it's something I'm very proud of, but I'm also hesitant to put it on my resume because my resume goes out to primary schools. Mm. You think that's a legitimate concern?
I suppose the biggest thing with looking for work is around the jobs that you're applying for and then tailoring your skills or highlighting your skills on that resume. If it's something that you think is a quality that's going to be good for that position, I would definitely say put it on your resume. If it's something that you feel that may not be as valuable, then you don't necessarily need to put it on there. You can, you know, then... You know, once you're successful, you can then start talking about the involvement that you have on a voluntary basis as well.
But I guess in saying that as well, sometimes those skills can be quite vital because they are often transferable.
Yep.
So, yeah, absolutely.
So just to round us off tonight, do you have any tips or strategies for young people searching for employment?
Just contact us. We'll help you out.
So where can we find you?
So you can easily access us through our website, which is www.sensewide.com.au.
Sensewide, that's S-E-N-S-W-I-D-E.
Thank you very much.
And you can also find us on Facebook. We're listed as Working Out. It's a bit of a play on words.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, see what we did there. So, yeah, just follow us on Facebook for some more info as well.
Awesome.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us tonight.
So Mary, glad to have an organisation like
Thank you.
Great to have you on the show.
Yeah, thanks so much. If anyone's got any questions to ask or just anything to say to us in general, remember 0427JOY949 or shoot us an email at onair@joy.org.au.
Oh, and just before we go, we'll actually be appearing at the
Victorian AIDS Conference this year.
Awesome.
And we'll be setting up a stall at the Disability Networking Zone in the Global Village in the conference.
Oh, fantastic.
Yep, and that'll be from the 20th to 25th of July. So
not too far away. Not too
I actually
far
might away. Be volunteering
Save
there,
the
so hopefully I see you guys.
Hopefully you will.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.